I'd like to begin this afternoon by inviting you to a familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure to everyone assembled here, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And rather than quote it, I'm going to read it to you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. We live in an age and a society which the views of children and views toward children are drastically different from what they were in the early days of the Old Testament. Today, children have become the authority figure in many homes. And parents, under the delusion of love and understanding, tolerate disrespect and selfishness and bow down to the whims of their children. In the inspired words of James, in James 3 and verse 10, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. In the Old Testament, things were quite different than they are now. Disrespect by children was not to be tolerated. The law of Moses made provision for unruly children. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9, everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He who has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of this city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Even though society's views have changed drastically in regard to these things, in fact, reading such passages of Scripture are probably not politically correct in today's society, but despite all of that, the Bible still is relevant in this area, as it is in all areas of life. It is still, as it has been eternally, since God put it in man's hand, it is the best manual for rearing children. Why? Because God never created anything without giving instructions for it. Period. And if its principles are applied, the results will be the same today that they were when the Bible was first penned by inspiration. How sad it is, though, that so many children today have no concept whatsoever of what respect is in any form. Children are not born with respect. They're not born with respect. Children have to be taught respect. First of all, and this makes sense, first of all, children must be taught to respect their parents. As you read from Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, notice here, honor your father and mother. This is talking about respect for parents. God does not take the disrespect of parents lightly. As we saw in the law of Moses, specific commands concerning disobedient children were quite specific in how they were to be dealt with. Now, maybe you hadn't thought of this before, but you will now. Anything that God takes so seriously, we also ought to take seriously. You say, well, we don't take our children out and stone them. No, we don't. We're not given that instruction today. Why is this an important lesson then? Because this tells us how God feels about disrespectful children. That's why. This is how God feels about it. And so, I believe we can learn that we must take it seriously today. Children, of course, need to be taught to honor their parents because honor expresses the frame of mind from which obedience comes. Look again there at verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents. And the very next thing, honor your father and mother. You see how those two are connected. The obedience of the children is a sign that they are respecting or honoring their father and their mother. You say, well, that word honor, what just exactly does the word honor mean? Well, I think we'll give a moment to that. It comes from the Greek word, which is transliterated timaio, and it means to estimate or to fix the value. That's the literal meaning. To honor someone in this context, then, is to evaluate that person accurately and honestly and treat him with the deference, respect, reverence, kindness, courtesy, and obedience which his station in life or his character demands. That's what honor means. You see the connection between honor and respect, don't you? Inseparably connected, because it's part of the definition. But the Bible gives us four reasons to respect parents. And the first one is real simple. God wants you to. That's the first reason. The second one is, He commands it. Children, obey your parents. Well, why do we do that? Because we honor them, that's why. We respect our parents. You notice the example of Jesus recorded in Luke 2:51. He went down with them and came to Nazareth, that is after going to Jerusalem, and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in his heart. Jesus, as a lad, showed respect to his physical family, his mother and father. Even though they weren't, his mother was physical mother, but the father was not. But he showed respect to them. The next reason is, it is right. That's what Ephesians 6 and 1 says. It is right. Because it's in the Word of God, it is proper that we do this. Very simply. And then, that it might be well with you. And that your days may be long. Well, in the context of this, back in Deuteronomy, chapter 5 and verse 16, in the context of this, they were talking here about the land which the Lord gave to Israel, the promised land. And certainly, a child under the law of Moses who did not respect his parents would not live long on the earth. Or in the land. Now, how do we relate that to us today? Well, I kind of got a kick out of reading some of the commentaries on this. And one of them said, well, generally, children who are brought up by godly parents are healthier than children that aren't. And so forth. Therefore, they live longer. I'm thinking, what rock did you crawl out from under? I don't get it a bit. That doesn't make a bit of sense. Now, what sense do we get from this? Okay, let's look at it from this standpoint. What is our goal? Is our goal to live in a big house and have lots of money and have everybody like us? And is that what our goal is in this life? No, it's not, is it? Talked about that this morning. But our goal in this life is to prepare for the life that is to come. That's the promised land that we're interested in. And a disrespectful child has no prospect of living in the promised land. And I think that's the way this is set forth here in this context. If you think you have a better understanding, don't hesitate to tell me. Because I've worked long and hard to come to an answer to this. But I think that's the best explanation that I've ever found of this, really. But children need to learn respect, not only for parents, but they must be taught respect for older people. Now that I'm an old person, it galls me the way some young people talk to seniors, if you will. There's no respect. There's no respect. In fact, they're downright vile and mean sometimes. Now, I have to tell you that those who do respect seniors and who are evidence of some good upbringing are refreshing. Had one of them just this past week over at Sam's Club, a young man who saw this old gray-headed man trying to get a 20-pound bag of ice out of the machine. "Sir, let me help you with that." And you know what my natural instinct was? "No, I got it. No, you know what?" I said, "Okay, thank you." But, you know, this type of respect is lacking in so many people. And you say, well, is that a biblical subject then? Yes, it is. Look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 43. And that isn't right, guys. That is Leviticus 19:32. And I apologize. I'm glad I caught that so you can correct it in your notes. 19:32. "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." That's not a suggestion, folks. That's God's directions. That's God's directions. But not only do children need to learn proper respect for older people, and let me not hesitate to say here, older women, older men, both, even though the text doesn't deal with that so much. But both are true. The older people. That's why I put older people there, okay? But children need to learn respect for government. Now, by government, we are talking here about authority figures in society. When we read from Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, we find that God's directive to us is, now by directive I mean command, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Now we talked about this last week in context of 1 Peter 2 verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So I don't need to go too deep into this, but I just want to remind you in this context that children need to be taught respect for government. Now, you say to yourself, well, what if there's people in the government that aren't worthy of respect? You do not teach them respect for the person. You teach them respect for the office. And the person that's in the office is the person who is voted into that office by popular vote. And maybe he's not the best man or she's not the best person for that office. But they're in that office. And it behooves you, if you believe that it's not the way it should be, to get busy and study and vote. Because that's our word. That's how we speak. Vote for somebody who is worthy of that office and who brings the proper respect to that office. But we cannot disrespect the office. And children have a hard time discriminating between the two. they have a hard time discriminating between the two. When children hear us speaking evil of the man who fills the office of the President of the United States, they think we are speaking evil of the office and not the man. And they need to understand that that is not the way that Christians act. That is not the way that Christians act. But this not only, I said authority figures if you remember, this also is extended to the environment in school, the principal, the teacher, if you're in college, the dean or whatever. It extends to police officers. Anyone who is in a position of authority, we need to teach our children to respect. And here again, if we spend all of our time ranking on police officers who make grave errors in their judgment, our children get the idea that police aren't worthy of respect. And that's how they'll live. How do you teach them to obey the law when they don't respect those who enforce it? Think about it. Now you say, oh, but there are corrupt police officers. Yes, there are. And you know what? As citizens, we need to do everything in our power to try to get rid of them. But they are in a position of authority, like it or not. And we need to give them the proper respect. Of course, it goes along with this, that the laws of the government must be respected, provided, now what did we say last week? That they don't conflict the laws of God. Now that means you can't just pick out some law that you don't like because you don't like it and disobey that law and feel exonerated. No, you can't. No, you can't. The law is the law. And if you don't like it, vote and get it changed. Take the necessary action to get it changed. And children need to see us as an example of this. But children also need to learn respect for God. In the 89th Psalm in verse 7, David wrote, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. That word reverence, if you look at the definition, it encompasses the word respect. Respected. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And there's that word reverence again. Respect. And again, we have Jesus as our example in this. You can look, I have a lot of passages we can look at, but I just want to look at a few. John 6 and 38. What did Jesus say? I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Dear ones, that is the Son of God speaking. What did he show to his Father? Respect. Absolutely. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Jesus went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Complete submission and respect for his Father. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Who in the days speaking of Jesus of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, he was heard because of his godly fear. There's respect. There's respect. But let's look at some consequences of a disrespectful attitude. We probably can think of a lot of them right off the top of our head, but I have a few of them for you to think about. A disrespectful attitude causes parents grief. In Proverbs 17:21, the writer says, He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Going on down to verse 25, in the same context, a foolish son is a grief to his father, and a bitterness to her who bore him. You show by your disrespect how much you despise your parents. Now, you remember how God felt about children who despised their parents. Now, the word despise here, if you look in Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. This foolish man is disrespectful. And what does he do? He despises his mother. Well, what do we mean? Well, despise means to reject, refuse, and that's from Nelson's Expository Dictionary. And then to do that which implies contempt, to slight, to neglect, to make little of, to treat contemptuously and proudly. That's Wilson's Old Testament word studies. I think a very, very inclusive definition there. Rejection is a terrible state to force upon one's parents. These are the people who are responsible for bringing you into this world. Without them, you wouldn't be here. Now, you can take that as you want to, but the fact is, by virtue of that, and that they have done everything in their power to raise you and to provide for you, you owe them something. And it's not in dollars. It's not in dollars. It's respect. You owe them respect. I remember a foolish child one time who was taught this lesson about a teacher. I just don't respect that teacher. She's this and she's that and she does this and does that. And you know, the lesson was, you will respect that teacher because she is the teacher. Not because who she is. Not because of what she does. But because she is the teacher. I got that lesson. I figured that one out. And you know what? I ended up loving that teacher, I have to tell you. Whew, she turned out to be one of the best teachers I ever had. But you know what? We must instill in our children a respectful attitude. And if it's not there, well, as we said in Proverbs 15:20, our children become described as foolish. Foolish. I was reading an article about this subject, and the guy was talking here about children, and he says the term wise guy, which is often applied to those who are disrespectful, is really a misnomer. One is not wise when they are disrespectful of parents, authorities, and so forth, because all of them are given to you by God for your benefit. That's true. That's just as true as it can be. And again, remember Ephesians 6:1, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, I didn't comment on that a moment ago, but I want to do it now before I go to the next point. Obey your parents in the Lord means that your parents require nothing less or more from you than the Lord requires. If your parents require you to do something that is sinful, your obligation to obey is canceled in that regard. That's the same thing with the law of the land, isn't it? If the law of the land tries to force something upon you that is sinful, you don't have to obey it because it's against God's law. Now, I say this for this reason, because there are many parents in this world today who require things of their children that are downright sinful. And many times, young people, as they began to open the Bible and read it, find out those things are sinful. And they're going, hold it a minute, why am I being required to do this? God says, don't do it. And now there's a situation. Do I obey what God says, or obey my parents? You know the answer. You know the answer. Now, let me say, that's only in regard to things that are contrary to God's will. It's not just things that are contrary to your will. My parents give me a 9 o'clock curfew. That's just not right, and I'm not going to obey them. Well, you're going to learn the hard way that you ought to, if they're doing their job. Because that's not what we're talking about at all. Another thing about consequences of a disrespectful attitude is it invokes God's wrath on you if you're disrespectful. In the New Testament, those who are disobedient to parents in Romans 1 verses 30 and 32 are worthy or deserving of death. Go over there and read that. He lists backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, the consequences of death in the New Testament setting are not the same as they were in the Old Testament setting, are they? The Old Testament setting, take them outside the city and stone them. This is talking about what it does to your soul with relationship to God. As I said before, when something is taken this seriously by God, we should take it every bit as seriously if we want to be pleasing to God. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17, I believe, carries with it obvious signs of judgment by God on a disrespectful child. Now read it carefully. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat on it. This isn't talking about corporal punishment or execution. This is talking about God taking his vengeance on this type of person. As I said, I think it's very, very serious. Very serious. Eternally serious. But let's talk about the consequences of a respectful attitude. And yes, there are consequences. Everything comes with consequences. One of the first consequences that I note here of a respectful attitude is it causes the parents to have joy. It causes the parents to have joy. Look at Proverbs 10 and 1. The Proverbs is talking about a wise son makes a glad father. What do you mean by this? We're talking about someone who shows proper respect for his father. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son makes a father glad. I've heard that somewhere before. That's right. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. That's speaking to children. That's one of the consequences of having a respectful attitude. And also having a respectful attitude, you show yourself to be wise. That's exactly right. In the first chapter of Proverbs, verses 8 and 9, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck. What are ornaments and chains? What's that talking about? Well, it's talking about things of beauty and value, things that are admired by others. That's what it's talking about. And a beautiful life is something that deserves admiration, without a doubt. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, talking to the ladies here, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Now, I want you to notice here now, when he says, do not let your adornment be merely. He doesn't mean go with your hair all messed up, don't wear any jewelry, and don't bother to put clothes on. That's not what he's saying here. He said, don't put all of your emphasis on this outward adornment, but instead, let it, verse 4, be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That's what God looks for. That's what God admires. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good or not afraid of any terror. Be it male or female, children who show respect to their parents will bring honor to themselves by those who see them. Because it's very obvious. But you know, one of the great things about the consequences of a respectful attitude is that God rejoices in you. That's right. Proverbs 23, verse 15, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice indeed. I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. This is God speaking by prophecy here through the wise man. And you know what? God's happy when you show respect. He's happy and he rejoices in you. But one final thing that I want to share with you before we bring the lesson to a close this afternoon. And that is to be respected. We need to respect others. A lot of people complain, well, I don't get any respect. Don't get any respect. Well, guess what? You probably don't show any respect for anyone. You want respect? Then you show respect. And the sooner we learn and manifest proper respect for others, be it children to parents, all of us to government, all these things that we've been talking about, the better and happier our life is going to be. Because being disrespectful does nothing but cause problems for our lives. Not just in the home, in the school, in the workplace. Yeah, people who are disrespectful have nothing but trouble. I have worked a lot of different jobs in my life, and I've lived a few years. Wow. But anyway, but I'll tell you right now, I have seen people who are disrespectful who have great skills. I mean, far better skills than I've ever developed. But guess what? They didn't last any time at all on the job. You know why? Because they didn't have respect. Now, I want to tell you something. If you're in the military, you'll learn to have respect or you'll end up in the pokey. I'm not joking. They don't put up with that. And it's hard. You know, I had a commanding officer in avionics who I don't think really went to college. He had a degree, but he didn't know nothing. And I mean nothing. But you know what? I respected him because he was the commanding officer. And he was my boss. And I had to show him respect. And that's hard. I remember when I went in the Air Force, someone said one of the hardest things they ever had to face in the military was having to show respect to somebody who had the IQ of a stick. And that's sometimes that's how it was. But I want to tell you something, folks. It's that way in the business world, too. If you're going to go out and work in the business world, you're going to find yourself in situations where you are going to be working for somebody who's maybe not all that bright. But they're your boss, baby. And you better respect them. you better respect them. Your life will be better and happier at home, in the church, which stands to go without reason, and in the world in general. I hope this lesson has been informative, uplifting to each and every one of us.